I appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray the Lord would bless our service and have some thoughts on my heart that I pray the Lord would help me to relate to you all, and that we'd have a blessing this morning. Does the Lord care about the world? You know, and I, you know, it's not just the earth itself and the trees and the flowers, and but does he care about the universal world, or the world, if you will, mankind, sinners and righteous people alike? It says, the Word of God says that he reigns on the just and on the unjust. And so there is certainly a general concern for all. What about the church? Does God care about his church? We come together and we're all here to worship the Lord and to hear from God and to give unto the Lord praise and glory for the things that he's done for us, and thanksgiving and honor to the Lord. And he's here with us this morning, and he's ministering to us. And we can look at that ministering to us in some ways in a general way. That God is here ministering to us generally. That means all of us together. The message that we received today, we can look at it as a message for all of us and have a mindset or a vision of it as being something that's for us all. And it is. And I think about the children of Israel and how God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament. It was as a nation. You know, God dealt with them as a community or as a nation. He gave them laws and ordinances to follow, and he led them through individuals. But when you look at it, a lot of times you look at him as dealing with the nation or in a general sense. And yes, God is very concerned about us generally. He's concerned about the earth. He's concerned about the church. But you know what? He's concerned about you. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in the fact that God cares about all of us, and we can forget about the fact that he cares specifically for you. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs that you have on your head. He even knows that you lost a few this morning. God knows you, and he cares about you. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in relationships that are acquaintances, or maybe relationships that are a little more superficial. But you know that when you have a deep relationship with somebody, you know things about each other. You share things with one another that you wouldn't necessarily share with anybody else. There's an intimacy there. There's a common knowledge of one another there. You know that God cares for you that way and wants to communicate with you in that way. And he wants to have that type of relationship with you. That he doesn't want your relationship to be one of generalities, where we come and we get the general message that everybody got. But he wants to give a message specifically to you and to what's happening in your life, and being able to talk to you specifically about you and what is going on with you. I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 4. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So there was a persecution that arose after the death of Stephen. And the church was scattered abroad. And Philip, an evangelist, had found himself in Samaria and was preaching the word of God boldly. And the people were receiving the word of God. They were hearing it, and miracles were being done in their lives. There was unclean spirits being cast out. The lame were walking. The people were paralyzed. God was moving. A powerful work that the Lord was doing in Samaria. Let's go to verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So word got to the apostles, and they're receiving the word of God in Samaria. Well, okay, here we come. They bring Peter and John, and they came and they expounded to the people more perfectly the way of God and taught them about the Holy Spirit and how they can receive the Holy Ghost, and they were being ministered to, and the Spirit of God was falling upon them. A powerful movement of God. When I think about this, I think of it in a lot of ways as a general ministry of God. The Lord was pouring out His Spirit. It was touching many people's lives. I don't know how many, but quite a few were being touched by the Word of God. And Philip was being an instrument in God's hand to be valuable in this effort. And then Peter and John came to increase in the ministry of what God was doing there. Let's go to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So here Philip is in the midst of a, I don't know if you want to say, powerful revival. And God says, okay, Philip, now I want you to go over here. All right? So God calls him and tells him, I want you to go to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, I think about this situation where we had a powerful revival taking place in Samaria, where Philip, an instrument of the Lord, was preaching the word of God, and it was being received, and souls were being saved and delivered from paralysis and from unclean spirits, and God calls Philip and says, I want you to come over here. And when Philip gets there, I mean, think about the care of God. This Ethiopian man is reading the scriptures and just doesn't understand it. And God takes Philip special to him. One man. God pulls Philip away special to go and speak to this one man to help him understand the scriptures more perfectly. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The Lord pulled Philip aside to come and speak to this eunuch specifically and specially to relate unto him the plan of salvation, the truth of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Left whatever he was doing, whether you call it a great work or whatever, it's God's work. And there was others left that could continue it on. But what I want to point out is the fact that God cared enough about this one man to send someone special to talk to him. To just help him to understand the Word of God, the Scriptures, to relate unto him the truth of the salvation that God had brought to mankind. He took him aside special to teach him and show him. And Philip said, well, let's see. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Boom. He was specifically there for him. And when that work was done, he was gone. Does God care about you? Not just in a general way, yeah, I'm a human being, yeah, I'm a person, sure God cares about me. No, does he care about you specifically? Do you have prayers on your heart? Do you have desires for wisdom and understanding and being able to understand your life, to understand some of the things that are taking place in your life? Are you seeking answers for those things? This eunuch man was searching the scriptures and didn't understand them, didn't understand what the Word of God was trying to teach him. And I have to believe that he was in his heart crying out, I wish someone would help me to understand this. And God sent him someone specifically. Will he do it for you? Will he come and speak to your heart specifically? Do we believe that? Can we get a hold of faith to grab a hold of that so that we can receive it? Because I do think that there's a certain effort that needs to be on our part. We have to have some faith to know that he will, that he can, and that I just need to listen and hear from him. God cares about you and me. He cared enough about the eunuch to send someone special to go speak to him and teach him. When you could say, well, Philip was busy. Philip had something to do. There was a lot going on there. Maybe he would be better suited where he was. But thank God that he leads us and directs us and guides us. And he told Philip, no, I want you over here. And I want you to speak to this man. And I want you to tell him my salvation. And he did. And the man went away gloriously saved, rejoicing in the encounter that he had with Philip and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does God care about you? Does he care about me? Are we here just in a general sense to hear the general message that everybody ought to hear and ought to listen to? Or is there something more to it? Is there something more involved with what we're doing here than just some general form? It goes deeper than that. And God has proved it in his word over and over. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? You know, I don't know all there is to know about the history of the Jews and the Samaritans, but from what I've gathered is the Jews tried to avoid Samaria. They just soon go longer and go around than to interact with them. They did not get along well with one another. But Jesus must need go through Samaria. And if we were to continue to read, and I'm not going to read this whole account, hopefully you are aware of it, but if you aren't, I would suggest you continue to read this chapter. But Jesus finds himself at the well of Jacob, and a woman comes to gather water, and he asks her for a drink, and they have a conversation. And in that interaction, she recognizes him as the Messiah, the one that is to come, and testifies unto others, come and see a man who taught me, told me everything that I did. Is not this the Christ? And testified unto him. But you know, I think about it in the sense that Jesus must go through Samaria. He was on a mission. Was it a mission for the whole group of Samaritans? In an ultimate sense, yes. But I believe his mission was to go talk to this woman. It was important for him to go through Samaria to talk to this one specific woman and to have this interaction with her and to be able to reveal himself to her as the Messiah, the Lord that would come and save. And she got a hold of it. And she took that message to others. But God cared enough about her to go and make a special trip, if you will, to go speak to her and have this interaction with her. It was important to him. You're important to him in very much the same way. You're not getting lost in the cracks or in the generalities of God looking at us generally. But he cares about what's going on in your life. And he cares enough to make a special trip to talk to you and to commune with you. I think of the scripture where he says, come, let us reason together. For though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Let us talk. Let's have a communication. The Lord wants to have that with you and with me. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 and 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." So here this young girl, I guess I consider her young, it says damsel, possessed by a spirit. I don't know if she was just saying it matter-of-factly or if she was saying it with a tone of ridicule but whatever the case, in 18 it says, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and into the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." So here we have a situation where they're going about doing the ministry of the Lord, preaching the gospel of salvation to people everywhere, and this possessed girl is crying out saying, "Oh, these are men of the Most High God who teach, that show unto us the way of salvation." And over time, it grieved Paul to the point where he just had enough of it, and by the Spirit of the Lord said, "Come out of her." And the Spirit came out of her. And the result of that act put them both in prison where their hands were shackled. They had received many stripes. They were beaten and thrown into the inner prison for the sake of the deliverance of this one girl. Why? You know, sometimes I think we go through things in life and we ask ourselves, why? You know, or we might ask God, why? Why would you do this? Why would you allow this? And on a very small note, I had something similar to this happen recently where I was at work and the cloud started coming in and it can't rain, right? Rain's not good for right now. And, you know, everybody's praying, "Oh, Lord, don't let it rain." So I just thought, well, maybe I ought to pray that it wouldn't rain. And so I did. I prayed. I said, "Lord, you know, I really wish it wouldn't rain." And it poured. It dumped water. And, you know, I could look at that and think, well, why, Lord? Other people prayed. I hear testimonies of people saying, "We prayed and the clouds parted and it went around the building and not a drop fell on us until we were done with our work. And as soon as our work was done, boom, it just cracked open and poured water." I prayed and it poured water. But you know, God's purposes can be done in both. Does that mean that God doesn't care about me? And that he's not concerned about me? Or you know, maybe someone else was praying, saying, "Lord, please let it rain." You ever think of that? You're praying that it won't rain, and somebody else next to you is like, "Please, Lord, let it rain." Whose prayer should he answer? I mean, in that sense, I think we have to relinquish it to the all-knowing power of God. But we ask ourselves sometimes, why, Lord? And I can say for myself, in that certain situation where the Lord allowed it to pour rain on me, He taught me something and He gave me a blessing out of it. Yeah, I got some stuff washed off, but you know, the Lord blessed me too to be able to finish the job anyway. It wasn't any harm or danger in it, but I was able to receive a lesson through it. And so I can imagine Paul and Silas sitting in there thinking, Lord, why? Why are we beaten? Why are we in shackles for doing your will? For walking in your ways, for delivering that young girl from that possessed spirit. Why, Lord? Verse 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Thank the Lord. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Boom. Everybody is like loosed and ready to run for it, I guess. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And the reason why he's considering doing that is because he doesn't want to have the consequences of somebody else finding out the prisoners got away and what they might do to him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Why, Lord? Why are we beaten? Why are we cast into this prison, into the inner prison, harmfully entreated? Was it not for this man? That God cared about this jailer? And was willing to send his servants in to the jail? I wonder if he heard them singing and praying. It says that the prisoners heard him. I wonder if he heard them. What must I do to be saved? You know, we can get down to it. God cared about the jailer. I believe that. I believe it shows it. He sent his servants in, and they were there at a moment in time that this man could come to them and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I think sometimes in my mind's eye, what did Paul and Silas think of that event? After they come out of that, and the jailer and his family were delivered and baptized and received the salvation that they go everywhere to preach. You think they got any joy out of that? What is the scripture where it speaks about the woman in travail and how when the birth comes, she forgets all the travail and the agonizingness prior? I can imagine that when they left there, they forgot all about the woes of the beatings and the scourging and the being put in the middle of the prison and joy that God had delivered this man and his family. God cared. And I believe Paul and Silas cared. Because they were ready. Maybe that man had been part of his beating. I don't know. Maybe there was opportunity for them to be disgruntled at this man, that maybe they would have a heart to want to resist giving him the gospel. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. But they cared. There was a time in my life when I didn't know what my future held. And I thought of the possibility that I would have to remain where I was for the rest of my life. And it was somewhat painful to think about. And I remembered praying to God, and I was communing with the Lord, like I was talking about earlier, where we have questions about our lives. We have questions about what's going on in our lives and what's going to be next and how will we face these things that are coming next. And Lord, teach me, instruct me, show me. And it was one of those times where it was like the Lord was right there talking to me face to face almost. And it's not that I'm saying I saw a figure or a face or anything like that, but it just felt like an intimate moment between me and God. It was a pivotal point in my life. And I remember the Lord essentially asking me, if one soul would be saved by you staying, would you stay? And I think that question is a lot easier to answer when you're Philip and there's a revival going on and say, yeah, for a revival, you know what I mean? For 1,000 souls. But no, that wasn't the question. That wasn't the question for Paul and Silas. Would you be beaten and mistreated for this jailer? Perhaps the man that was participating in the beating, would you do it for him? And so that's kind of how it was, where God was speaking to me. He was saying, would you do it for one? And you know what the right answer is, right? You're sitting there and you know. Because what if you were the one? What if your soul was on the line over it? What if you were that jailer? And I knew what God had done for me. I knew that He had saved my soul, that He had delivered me, that I owed Him everything. All of it. I owed Him everything. Because I would have had nothing without Him. No life, nothing without God. We don't even breathe without God. And I knew I owed Him everything. And I was very grateful and very thankful for the salvation that God had given it to me, for the mercy that He had given it to me, the deliverance that He had given it to me. I owed Him my life. And yeah, we would like to dictate how God uses us. We would like to be involved in all the discussion as to our future and what's next and all that. But the reality was I owed Him my life. And He could do with me what He wanted to do. And I believed in my heart that if that's what He wanted to do, if that's what He felt was the most beneficial way to use me, that I would want to raise my hand to that and say, yes, Lord, if that's what You want. And it was tough. It was thick. You know how they say the air was thick? Well, the air was thick that night. It was all around. And I felt the pressure of it. Because when you commit to something like that, and you consecrate to something like that, would you do it for one? And you believe, before you even say it, you're in your heart and you're in your mind thinking that if I say yes, he's going to do it. And you feel like you're signing on for that one. And maybe you are. But I'll say that I was thinking of all those things in my heart. And I remember just saying, yes, Lord. For one. If it be your will, I belong to you. Now, this is not me trying to say, oh, see how great I am. No, that is not it at all. I didn't want that to be the truth. I didn't want him to do that. But I believe that God requires us to consecrate things. It's our heart to him. It's our relationship to him. And I'll tell you, he did not do it. He allowed me to be released. He allowed me to a different life. You know, he allowed me to have the things that I desired. But he still wanted me to commit back then to his will. Whatever his will is. He broke it down to me to that extent. His will, it was what it was. It wasn't about the one person. It wasn't about me staying there or getting out. It was about his will. How far are you willing to go in this? It's your will, Lord. If it be your will. And so I could say that God cared about me in that. Yeah, I had to consecrate that. I had to consecrate my life and say, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, I belong to you. I believe it. I commit to it. I know it's true. And you can do what you want with me. And you know, he cared so much about me that he blessed me in many ways. And I believe had he chosen to keep me there for one soul, that he would have blessed me still. Right there. Right in the midst. It can happen. The Lord did bless me for many years. And it was because he cares. So God cares about you. He cares about me. Individually. And he cares about all those little things that you care about in your mind and in your heart and that you're concerned about and that you're the turmoil that has going on in you. He cares about every bit of that. And he wants to talk to you about it. He wants to get close and intimate with you about it. But you know, have you ever tried to get close to somebody in a relationship with somebody, but yet every time you're around them or every time you're talking to them, you're keeping everything on the superficial, on the generalities? How good does that work out for you? The same is true with our relationship with God. If we really want to get to know him, and really want to get close to him, and really want to have that intimate conversation with him about these things, we got to get real in our hearts with him. And we got to talk about these hard things and communicate with him about these things and really open our hearts up to him. If you want to be close to somebody, you got to open up to them. You want them to open up to you, you got to open up to them. It's vice versa. And that's how you grow and get close to different ones. And the Lord wants to do that with you and with me. Does God care about the church as a whole? Yes, He does. How do we help the church? How do we help the church? One at a time. To really benefit God's church or His body, we've got to do it one at a time. I mean, we can put out the general messages. They're there. You know, and we're here to receive from God, and we can do the things that are general or that is for everybody. This message is for everybody here. But if we really want to make changes, or not changes, if you will, but if we want to make impact on the church, it's going to be one at a time. And we ask ourselves, how can we save the world? One at a time. You're not going to get out there and you're not going to save the world all with one message. But you know you can, one at a time. I think of those different ones that Jesus impacted, the woman that He interacted with and had a communication with. She went out and testified and brought many others to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Messiah. And I don't doubt that many got saved as a result of that communication that she had with the Lord. And I think of the lunatic man that was, you know, couldn't be bound, and Jesus came, had an interaction with him, and then they asked him to leave. And you know he did? Wouldn't Jesus know that that would happen? But he went for him. And as a result, that man went back and testified. He said, go tell him what great things God has done for you. And he did. And I believe the scriptures speak that when Jesus returned, that they were ready and waiting for him to come. But if we want to change the world, it starts with one. So I guess this message is about the ministry of one. God with us and us with others. May the Lord help us to be vessels in His hand to do the work of one or for one. And remember that God cares for us, the one. He cares enough that He'd make a special trip just for you. If you're not too busy, Lord, and you have time, maybe you can hear this prayer. No, it's not about that. He has plenty of time. And He wants to hear all those prayers. He wants to know what's on your heart. And He wants to talk to you about it. And now's a good time. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me.